I am Plant Online. This is thecommentary.ca. Exhaustion is an epidemic today. Dr. Woodson Merrill joins me now to discuss his new book, The Source, Beat Fatigue, Power Up Your Health and Feel 10 Years Younger, co-written with his wife, Kathleen. Dr. Merrill clearly shows us how to power up our minds, bodies, and spirits with a 6-point plan to create energy, which includes rethinking our food, exercise, and relaxation. There are daily menus and recipes, which I read with interest. There are a bunch of recommendations blurbed on the book from Dr. Oz, Dr. Northrup, Donna Karan, Cindy Crawford, Anthony Robbins, and Richard Gere, among others. Dr. Merrill is chair of the Department of Integrative Medicine at Beth Israel Medical Center in Manhattan. He is also an assistant clinical professor of medicine at Columbia, and he also maintains a private practice in Manhattan. The book is published by Random House and retails for $29.95. Please welcome to the Plant on the Line program Dr. Woodson Merrill. Good morning, Dr. Merrill.
Hello, nice to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for joining us. The integrative medicine, what does that encompass?
It's really the way all medicine will be practiced within the next decade, and it's already here now. It focuses on taking the foundation of conventional Western medicine and weaving into that practices that have been around for hundreds or in some cases even thousands of years, such as traditional Chinese medicine, with newer, what we're called more complementary therapies, such as homeopathy and chiropractic. And what it really does, it gives us a tremendous range of approaches we can use to promote maximum health for every person.
In this country, there's been a move to sort of include acupuncture, in sort of cover that in the medical, I guess your medical insurance or whatever you call it, the public medical insurance.
Yes.
Is that a sense in the United States that you're seeing a lot of greater acceptance of Chinese medicine, for example?
Oh, very much so. I think that they were acupuncture is almost mainstream at this point. The way hypnosis became about 10 years ago, things that were considered almost quackery 20 years ago now, not only because they've been practiced for such a long time, but there's an amazingly exponential growth in quality information of the research showing us the efficacy of these things. So I think that practices have actually met research and made even the most conservative academicians much more comfortable with the concept of incorporating some of these practices into conventional medicine.
This book, I found it interesting to read. It's a 21-day plan, is that right?
Yeah, the source is focusing, the first part of it explains the evidence basis, why transforming your life with practices such as better exercise and sleep and food, why it really makes a difference. And then the second part of the book is a 21-day plan for where we make practical all of those suggestions and weave people through their own resources so that by the end of the 21 days they can come up with an approach to life that gives them dramatically more energy and better health.
I'm 26 years old, Dr. Merrill. After doing this, would I really feel 16?
Or if you were 9, would you feel like you're a fetus?
Yeah.
I think that what it'll do is it's obviously relative to your age, but what'll happen is the majority of people now are fatigued on a regular basis. 35% of the workforce 6 years ago in a study were not just fatigued, but extremely fatigued. And stress is a factor that affects, I've always said 70% of my patients come in for stress or as part of their problem, and I say it's more like 110%. So I think there isn't a person who doesn't feel somewhat debilitated by particularly the stresses of modern life, and then that leads to a host of other issues. So each person is different. One person, it may manifest as a bit of fatigue, others severe insomnia, others headaches or bowel problems. It's highly individual. So what this plan does is it looks at all the possible issues that may be out of balance and helps a person to find their own balance. And as a natural result of that, you not only feel more energized but have better health, but you feel much more vital and youthful.
Are we more stressed than before, I should say?
Compared to 6 months ago?
Or let's say about 10, 15 years ago?
Well, I think that modern society is very complex. For example, in the U.S., the Civil War was a big, the Great Depression. It's not like we haven't had stresses in the past, but I think that as the world becomes a global village, I think we've seen in the last couple of weeks with the implosion of finances how much we're interconnected. And the problem, though, is not really the stress itself. The problem is how we react to the stress. And so one of the things we do in the 21-day plan is have people keep a stress log for a week and identify those stressors in their life. And the ability to actually be healthy and have sufficient energy is being able to rise up to the challenge. If you feel you can cope with the stress and that you have some control over it, it just makes a dramatic difference in your health and energy. Feeling you're hopeless and you can't do anything about the stress is extremely debilitating.
So a stress log, sort of like a diary, right?
A stress log diary, absolutely. And besides just recognizing what the stresses are and trying to use your mind and your emotions to overcome it, we actually give a very simple physical exercise that you can do. Your body can actually help your mind. If when you first wake up in the morning, the beginning of the day is the most stressful time of the day. There's a 400% increase in the incidence of heart attacks at the beginning of the day. You think it's a calm time, but it's not. Sit at the edge of your bed for 2 minutes and just calm your mind. Just focus on your breath when you first get up in the morning so you actually recognize you're starting the day in a peaceful way. And then throughout the day, every hour or so, just sit up and open your chest. Take 4 breaths. That's all I ask. 4 deep, slow breaths. Count a 4 in, pause. Count a 4 out, pause. Do that throughout the day, and you'll feel a definite reduction in the adrenaline in your nervous system, and it allows your mind to begin to relax through that very simple body work.
Do you find that children are stressed as well?
Well, certainly children reflect the stress of their parents. They have different stresses. They have peer groups as they go through life and they go through their growth phases. But I think children are not immune to the effect of stress in their life coming from the parents and the greater society around them. I think a lot of the reaction that we have as adults is engendered by how we've been kind of trained to react to stress as children, even from the perhaps even time in the fetus. There are studies showing that pregnant women can actually transmit stress to their unborn babies. It certainly can magnify when the baby comes out. Yes, it occurs all throughout our life, our exposure to stress.
I was just looking at your tour schedule here in Canada. The last 3 days, you've been in 3 different cities. How are you keeping your energy up on this book tour?
Well, I feel very, I'm doing what I love. This is my passion, and I think that I feel very blessed that I have been able to put things together to write this book, and I've been, you know, in the right time and the right place to try to get the message out there of how people can transform their life. It's been in practice for 25 years and in a medical scientist for 40 years, and finally with my wife, who's a brilliant health science writer, put together a book that we feel very proud of, not just for the information that's in it, but the ability of it to help people to change their life. And the fact that I'm able to get the word out to me is an incredible blessing. I feel very energized by what I'm doing. If you love what you do, automatically your energy starts at a higher level every day.
The book opens with a visit by a patient who sees you in your private practice. Her name is June.
Yes.
What was her problem, and how did you help her?
Well, her problem was what so many people's problems are who see me. When I got out of medical school, I noticed that 80% of the people who see me didn't have some terrible disease that I was so well trained to diagnose and treat in medical school, but they came to me with a long list of vague complaints. We call them functional disorders. They may have headaches or insomnia or bowel problems or joint pains or rashes. Or getting colds or flus a lot, and really conventional medicine really doesn't have any answers for these. So I had to go looking for other things that could help me with my patients who were in this kind of gray area. They weren't sick, but they weren't well. And what I've come to realize and came to realize a couple decades ago was that focusing on energy and their ability to create energy was the source, hence the name of the book, the source of health and well-being. And to engender those practices, it actually can help you to increase energy, and a lot of those problems and issues that you're not addressing well just become back into balance.
So one of the things that we see a lot about in popular culture now, not only in your country but in our country as well, the preponderance of energy drinks.
Oh yes,
we see a lot of those. They're marketed heavily.
Yes.
Are they really sources of energy?
No, you get a burst. And this, by the way, it's a $4 billion market.
Really?
Yeah, 240 million pounds of coffee beans and $4 billion worth of energy drinks, which are basically just caffeine and sugar. And what you feel is you feel just like when you eat a candy bar or drink a cup of coffee. You'll feel a burst of activity in your nervous system that you interpret as giving you energy for an hour or two. But then what happens is you crash because it's an artificial energy. You're jacking up your nervous system and your adrenaline levels by chemical stimulant. And what happens is people end up craving that when they crash. They go back to the substance, whether it's coffee or an energy drink or refined carbohydrates. What they need to do are both those physical and mental practices, but also those foods that will sustain their energy. So over a 4 or 5 hour period, they won't feel hungry and their blood sugar level will be maintained. And that's not starting your day with a sticky bun and a cup of coffee, but having lean protein and complex carbohydrates and drinking enough fluids that actually give you an even energy throughout the day. Those drinks actually end up consuming energy. You actually end up in net energy deficit by drinking those drinks. You have a quick burst, but then you have a depletion following it.
You have a recipe in your book for a breakfast drink, is it?
Yes.
And what does that involve?
Well, the morning shake, I've loved this. I've been using this for such a long time. And it involves using some form of protein, and it can be unsweetened soy milk, or it can be whey or brown rice protein powder with some fresh or organic or frozen berries and some form of bit of juice for flavoring, whether pomegranate or cherry or pineapple. And then we put fiber in it with ground flax meal. You can get in any health food store. Just a teaspoon of flax oil as a natural anti-inflammatory. And to jazz it up, putting in some spices to give it flavor and change it, cinnamon or turmeric or ginger, and put this in a blender. It literally takes you 3 minutes to make it, and you have a drink that's only about the same calorie as a yogurt that actually will power you for 4 or 5 hours, not only in terms of energy, but also providing a lot of antioxidant and anti-inflammatory substance to help the body heal itself.
And one of the things, I was looking at the recipe there, flax meal, flax oil, probiotic powder liquid.
Yes, the probiotics also.
Yeah. Not regarding the shake specifically, but it seems to me, and a lot of people will say this, that to live a sort of different life would cost a lot of money. Is a source, does that cost a lot of money for people to...
No, actually what we're talking about is you know, prepared foods are often more expensive than buying the actual fresh produce. And what we're talking about is trying to get to really clean sources of whole foods. Shop in the perimeter of the grocery store. Don't go in the middle aisles where the price per pound of buying food is someone else's packaged and put lots of artificial ingredients in, overall ends up costing more. So for the morning shake, we're really talking about soy milk and flax milk. These are not very expensive. You can substitute one juice for the other. It's not that you have to do this every day, but it's something that's actually just cost a few dollars per shake if you want to do something less expensive. For example, yogurt. You could do a yogurt with a little bit of honey or flax meal or cinnamon on it. There are a number of options you have. We just give the morning shake because it provides a lot of very powerful beginning to the day.
I mentioned energy drinks such as the ones that we see in little tin cans and so on. Where else are we seeking energy? Caffeine, I guess, is another one. Where we shouldn't? I guess alcohol is one, is it?
Well, alcohol is more to reduce our anxiety level, and for that we really should be doing exercising more and relaxing. I think that we're this is a national epidemic. In Canada it's probably a little less, but in the United States, 62% of the population in the U.S. and 50% in Europe are overweight and 30% are obese, and the incidence of diabetes and obesity in children is rising drastically. So our diet is extremely out of balance, particularly with refined carbohydrates and portion sizes, and it's coupled with lack of exercise, and I think that exercise is kind of a very daunting project to many people, but we talk in the book that the studies are very encouraging for the couch potatoes out there about how little it takes to actually get you going energetically. 30 minutes of a brisk walk 3 times a week will double your ability to have more energy. It can be quite simple.
And prescription drugs. You write about that in the book. Do you find that we can get away from our addictions to them, or our reliance on them, I should say, not addictions?
Well, you know, I'm an integrative physician, so if somebody needs antibiotics or steroids or surgery, that's what I'm going to recommend, but I hope they can do it with eating better, exercising, and meditating. And so each person is individual, so not that some people with diabetes don't need to have medications, but some of the most common killers right now in terms of heart disease with both hypertension, high cholesterol, and diabetes, these are 70 to 80% completely lifestyle illnesses. These are a result of lifestyle, not genetics, for the majority of people who have them. And one of my favorite categories, because I'm still in practice 3 days a week, I see patients as I have been for 25 years, in addition to teaching, is I love to do what I call early intervention when people are just beginning to slip into illness or beginning to get hypertension or high cholesterol, and pull them back and show them with lifestyle they actually don't need to be taking medication. So the reliance on the quick fix or the pharmaceutical, which unfortunately for most physicians is their main tool, is something that's one of a number of tools those of us doing integrative medicine have at our disposal.
I was just thinking of something with regards to stress and managing it and our anxieties. You talk about your morning shake. You also talked about deep breathing in the morning when you wake up. What about someone who works odd hours? I have a friend who I've been communicating with the last week or so, and he's been telling me he's just started a graveyard shift.
Yeah.
Can the source, this book, can that help him perhaps in odd hours?
Yeah, I think that there's some information that getting to bed, following almost the circadian rhythms of the planet, and you get some of your best sleep and produce a lot of hormones such as growth hormone between 10, you know, at night before 1 or 2 a.m. But people who do swing shifts, if you really are shifting all over the place, it's very difficult for your body to adjust, you know, practically. Hopefully you can get adjusted to it and you do it for a couple weeks and can get on a cycle. But even then, if your sleep is an issue, it's more, even that much more important for the other aspects of your life, for the stress, for the exercise, for the food to be in balance, because you have less leeway for air. The body is struggling a little bit more to make energy and to stay healthy when you're switching around the circadian rhythms.
How much sleep do we need, do you find?
Well, everyone feels differently in terms of how much they think they need, but the studies are very clear. We all need 8 hours. Before the electric light bulb was invented, the average number of hours of sleep we got was 10.2. Now it's less than 7, 6.9. Four studies in the last year all pointed the maximum, the best we can be in terms of regenerating our cells and being healthy is 8 hours. But I'm practical. I mean, you know, we all know people who've sleep 4 or 5 hours and seem to do great. But, you know, people can smoke 2 packs of cigarettes a day and live to be 90. It's just that the odds aren't in your favor. So what I talk about in the book is I'll compromise and negotiate. So give me 3 days a week when you try to get 8 hours sleep. Give me 2 days during the week and 1 on the weekend where you try to get in bed by 10 o'clock and wake up a little bit later in the morning, where you give yourself a chance to recoup your energy and for the DNA and all the repair processes to occur to make your body maximally healthy.
And a discussion in the book that I found interesting was pillows.
Yes.
How high should we elevate our heads?
Well, of course, with reflux, you should elevate them with a couple pillows, but most people, one pillow is plenty, but the key is to use a medium firm pillow, and there is some good research that's been done showing that both for mattress and pillows, medium firm is the ideal. Not too soft. Your face should not be basically completely inside the pillow, but it should be supported with a medium firm pillow. That can actually help promote a better quality, because it isn't just about the quantity of sleep, it's also about the quality of sleep and reducing the number of nighttime awakenings that so many people have.
You practice yoga regularly, do you?
I started doing yoga 40 years ago. It's one of the things that compelled me to that in meditation to go into medical school to see if I could combine these Asian health practices with Western science. And I think consistently going back to yoga, I think the most, personally I feel it's the most powerful practice one can do. It can be as aerobic as you want it to be. It keeps you limber, and it actually allows the mind to quiet. Not that there's a problem with swimming. There are lots of great exercises, bicycling. But I think if I had to pick one exercise overall that would be mind, spirit, and body, it would be yoga. Tai Chi also close behind.
What about religion? Does that help us spiritually? I guess it helps. Does it help spiritually? I guess generally as a physician, do you find that it does?
Yeah, the chapter on connectedness shows that there's some very compelling studies done by Harold Koning at Duke and others, and Larry Dossey, showing that the power of spirituality and religion to transform our life and our health. It's been shown that the more that one engages in a spiritual practice, and to a certain extent, interestingly, for people who are religious, there's almost a dose-response relationship. The more you are engaged in regular religious practice, going from once a month to once a week to a couple times a week, actually the healthier you become, the less heart disease and the longer longevity you have. However, having said that, and the power, and personally, I'm a very spiritual person, of the spirit to be the ultimately most powerful thing, you change agent you can have. Even for people who are agnostic or even atheists, they can find a similar power in connectedness, because it's about meaning and peace and being connected, whether it's through yourself, your spouse, your children, nature, pets, the ability to be connected. And a lot of the studies that have been done on religion and spirituality, kind of the conclusion is that it's the sense of meaning and peace and connectedness that are so important in those activities, whether or not you are connecting to a higher power.
Dr. Merrill, thanks so much for joining us today. This has been a fascinating conversation, a fascinating book, and a helpful one. Continued good luck with it.
Thank you. Thank you for the time to discuss the book, the source for the listeners.
You're very welcome. Dr. Woodson Merrill with Kathleen Merrill, the authors of The Source, Beat Fatigue, Power Up Your Health and Feel 10 Years Younger, published by Random House, $29.95. For the commentary, I'm Joseph Plante.